Welcome to the Construction Industry Podcast. Fresh ideas for today's construction professional. The Construction Industry Podcast is brought to you by Remontech, remote monitoring technologies. Find us on the web at constructionindustrypodcast.com.
Welcome once again. This is episode 9 of the Construction Industry Podcast. My name is Cesar Abade, and it's nice to have you with me today again. Today we're going to do a follow-up on a blog post that's on our website on things you must do to create a great project schedule. And I thought I would talk to the author, who is my boss and my father, Dr. George Abade, PhD. Dr. Abade has a PhD in construction management from the Illinois Institute of Technology. And prior to joining Remontech, he was a construction manager for over 20 years in Brazil. And when he went back to school, he decided to work on a tool to help other construction managers that used to be, other construction managers that do the things that he used to do. And so he decided to create a tool that he wished he had back when he was out in the field. So, Dad, how are you?
I'm okay. I'm so glad to be here today. Yeah. And to be heard about have this opportunity to bring my experience to other colleagues in such a way they don't need to suffer like I did in the past.
I think I should take a step back and explain why we're even talking about schedules. It's because what we do here at Remontech, we integrate, I've talked about this in the past, but we integrate the schedule of the project to the time-lapse video. And last episode, I talked about time-lapse photography as applied to construction projects. And so we are constantly dealing with projects that are done by other people, right? We receive schedules. I meant to say schedules. We receive schedules that are done by people that work for our clients. And in the 10 years that we've been doing this, for the most part, they are really bad. The schedules are not well done, and we end up having to redo them. And so that's why you wrote that post, right? To kind of help people do a better job. So I thought maybe we could go over that post. The post is called 10 Things You Must Do to Create a Great Project Schedule. And there'll be a link to this article on this show, on the notes for this show. So if you go to remontech.com/episode9, you can check the link there. So the first item on the 10 things you must do to create a project schedule is understand the project. So what do you mean by that?
Understand the project manager in the construction industry, you know, today he is or she is involved in a bridge project, tomorrow with the industrial facility, the third project, a high-rise building. So the first thing to do is to understand what that project in fact is, what are the main steps that the client, that is the owner, that is familiar with the thing, and we may not, like for example, for a building, you're involved in a cement plant construction, we have to know that the most important piece to be placed is the kiln. It's a huge thing that weighs sometimes 200 tons. So everything related to the kiln is critical for the project, independent of the duration of the activities. Mm-hmm. So understanding the project is
essential,
a fundamental thing. And then and then take a good look in the documentation available, because the construction industry has 3 main entities, which is the owner, the architect, and the contractor. The three are involved in the same task, which is to deliver the facility. However, they have different interests. The owner wants to pay the minimum, the least, and have the thing done yesterday. The contractor wants to have the most of the project. He got the contract through a tender process, and he had to work hard to get the best price, and he's looking for flaws in the designing in order to have change orders, in order to have a better outcome of that contract. And the architect is working, deliver the project, the designing. And then these three entities, they are fighting all the time. And so the project manager is in the middle of this battle. And so understanding the project is a very important step, is a very important beginning.
Okay, that makes sense. Because one of the things that happens today is the term project manager used to be almost strictly applied to construction projects a few years ago, but in the last 20 years or so, the term got a larger meaning. So you have project managers in IT projects, in healthcare projects, and a lot of these different industries. It's not that very important to understand, to have a technical knowledge of what a project is. But what you're saying is, in construction project, it's essential. You need to know, deeply what the project is about, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, the item number two here is to understand the constraints. So, can you give us some examples of what the constraints are?
For example, here in North America, we have the winter. In some place we can get 50 degrees below zero. So if we are building a high-rise building, we have to try to get the enclosure, the envelope of the building, ready before the winter, because we will not be able to work in the 20th floor under wind and in temperatures 30 below zero or even less. So we have to understand the constraints. And other constraints, like if you are building a working mall, the owner wants the thing done before Christmas. So you are constraining to a duration that has nothing to do with the difficulty to build the thing, but a commercial need of a financial need of the owner. So also holidays and other issues that may impact the duration of the project.
Okay. Laws as well, regulations.
Yes, regulations, union problems.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So the constraints would be, among other things, the environment around the project and all the things that are pushing and pulling, competing to sometimes become a stumbling block for the delivery of the project. Okay. All right. Number three is create a list of activities, and how do you do that? Well, how do you suggest people do that? I'm sure people do that all the time, but there might be a better way and easier way to do that. What do you say?
Well, we have to divide the project in smaller activities, in smaller tasks. in order to be able to build a network with the thing. And there are some, I have seen in my life some very poor schedules with few activities like foundations, structure, envelope, end of project, and that does not help much.
Mm-hmm.
Others, like I saw a couple of times, projects with 10,000 activities. Well, that's a nightmare to deal with. Mm-hmm. So we have to break down the project in a fair way with the list of activities that you can manage in the next steps of this task.
Mm-hmm. One thing that I've read in more than once is that create a rule for how you break down the activities. So the rule is if an activity lasts more than 8 hours or less than 80 hours, it's an item on the schedule, which is an interesting rule. But if you apply that across the entire project, that's how you come up with the 10,000 activities.
Yeah.
I think what you're saying is instead of using a simple rule like that, if you understand the project and what it is, you know that this section, let's say foundations, this section we should break down using this method, but maybe a different section of the project you can break down using a different method in which you don't have so many activities, but they're not needed. Is that right?
Yes. So, and you can, well, there are some construction projects that we have been involved here at Remontec, like small projects. Like we have a big client that is a cement company, and they have to replace the insulation of the kiln every 6 months or so. And this is an activity that they have to shut down the whole facility for the time of the project. So that's a project that's has to be done in few days, because they are losing production, they are losing a lot of money. So they were interested in follow three shutdowns to see how they could, you know, save time here and there using our time-lapse photography tool. So that's a project which we have activities. The duration of the activities are in days or in hours.
Mm-hmm.
So some activities that had 3 hours, other activities 10 hours, 20 hours, but still we had a schedule with 100 activities. But 100 activities that have to be performed in 5 days.
Well, depending on the duration and the level of complexity, you need to break it down differently. But
yes,
the idea is to have a schedule that is not too simple, just simple, as simple as possible, but not simpler.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Number four here is to sequence the activities. And so what's the best practice for sequencing? Say that. Sequencing your activities, what's the best practice?
Well, the best practice is if you are familiar with the project, that means what I mean. You are building a bridge and you have done this 10 times in your life. So you know exactly that first of all you have to dig the land, or if the bridge is, they have columns inside the river or the lake, you have to make a dam around that thing, you know. So you know exactly how the thing goes. First of all, open, dig the hole, put the foundation, and then the column, and then the other column, and then the beams, and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you are facing a project that you don't know exactly how the thing is, because it's a mix of civil construction with mechanical construction. Then you have to interview the project engineer, that is the guy, that the person that knows the process and how the things are put together, to learn from him or from her how they will do work with, how they have to put the tune first, and then what comes next, that would be the firing engine to put fire inside the kiln, you know. So you have to interview this person, mm-hmm. to put together the to list the activities that have to be performed in the sequence.
Right. And I think one thing that that we see a lot is that the project manager will try to do everything, and especially when they've done similar projects in the past, and they might not be as familiar as the example you use is the kiln, and so there is usually an engineer in charge of that from the supplier of the kiln, for example, but because the construction project manager has done this in the past, sometimes they will not talk to that person, the mechanical person. They're just going to do the schedule as the way that they think it should be done. But what you're saying is a good idea to talk to the owner of that activity,
yes.
And see what they have to say in terms of what comes first and what comes after. Yeah. Okay. Number five is to determine the unit of time used for the project. So I think this is similar to what we were talking about, like each project is different, I guess.
Yes, yes.
So if it's a shorter project, you might want to use an hourly unit.
Yeah.
If it's longer, days or weeks. Or
usually months. The duration of the project is in days. But as you said, if the project is like that, the kiln maintenance, and if that lasts 5 days, you need to have an hour as a unit time.
Mm-hmm.
Or if it's the refinery that we took care for Shell years ago, that took 5 years, then the unit may be a week or the month.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. And that will determine the size of the amount of data you need to deal with. Because if it's a 5-year project and you've decided you're gonna use an hour for as a unit
yeah,
of time,
no,
then
that's not gonna work.
Okay. And then determine, number six is to determine activity durations.
Yeah.
Okay. What do you
want? So the duration of an activity can be determined if the person is dealing with something that he or she is dealing for, it's a repetitive project, like a development, where the houses, they are not so different from each other. So this person knows exactly how long does that take to dig a hole for the basement and then put together the forms, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So otherwise, if you don't have, there are methods to do that. One of them, a very common thing to do, is to go to RMS.
Mm-hmm.
RMS is a book where most of the activities in construction are there, and you can find the how many hours you need to perform that specific activity, and determine the crew that you need, a foreman, this kind of worker one, worker two, worker three, and then if you have the crew and the number of hours, and you know that these people work 8 hours a day, you can find the duration of the activity.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'll put a link on the show notes for the book, so if people are interested, they can click there. I'm sure a lot of people are familiar with it, but in case you're not, you can check the website. Number seven is to understand what is the expected date of completion. So you think people sometimes don't think about that, when the job is supposed to be done?
Yeah, the job, well, that's the tricky, to be a scheduler. that sometimes you have to put together to make a schedule to in order to accomplish a finishing time that has nothing to do with the difficulty of the activities. Mm-hmm. Like I said before, the example of the mall has to be done before Christmas. So this finishing date has nothing to do with the technicalities of the project.
Mm-hmm.
If you are free to determine the duration, good for you. You can make your schedule, worrying only about the time necessary for in 8 hours per day working. That's the cheapest way to do the thing. You can perform all the activities and then you find the final date. But if you are framed by, in South America where I work a lot of times, sometimes we have a project that the mayor wants to inaugurate the thing on March 25 because there is an election in April and he wants to show his deed as
part of the campaign.
Part of the campaign. So lots of time you are framed by some limitations that have nothing to do with the technicalities of the project.
Mm-hmm. So communication with everybody involved, I guess, is the idea.
Talk yes.
To the sponsor, to the client.
There are other constraints like that. My facility has to be in production at that day in 2015 because my competitor is also starting another facility that will deliver the same product and I have to start the thing before him or
mm-hmm.
So another way, again, you are framed by a timeline that has nothing to do mm-hmm. with the necessities of the project.
So the idea then is to communicate with everybody involved and to see what the expectations are.
Yes.
And maybe the project's not even viable if it's, you know, if the expected...
Or if you, for example, mm-hmm. another example, you are building a dam mm-hmm. for a hydroelectric power plant. We have to finish that part of the dam before that day, because that day starts the rain season
mm-hmm.
and the river will be, there will be an increase in the flow mm-hmm. and we have to avoid that mm-hmm. part of the year. So again, the scheduler is framed by a condition.
Okay. All right, number 8 is to determine the milestones. So what do you suggest? Like same thing. Talk to everybody involved and see what the
yes.
milestones are.
Yes.
Decide when they need to be done by, because a power plant is just part of it. The dam is a milestone.
Yes,
right?
A milestone.
So
the powerhouse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, placing the turbine. So you have some milestone. You have to have at least part of the powerhouse done that day because the turbine is coming, and then that's a very important milestone for the project. And we have, again, if the scheduler is dealing with something that he never had done before, he has to interview the people that are from the field
mm-hmm.
to know exactly what are the milestones that he has to worry about when building his schedule.
Okay. Very good. And then number 9 is to generate the Gantt chart.
Yeah, the Gantt chart's not like some people do, sit in the desk, take a piece of paper, foundations, let's see, 3 months. And the structure, 10 months. And then put the bars, and that's it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think
we have seen a lot of this behavior here in Remotech.
Yeah, I think a lot of people do this Gantt chart because it's a contractual obligation, and they need to supply one. But it's just guesswork, right? They just guessed.
Yes.
And to make it look decent, and they give that to the client. A lot of times, the client is not a construction. It's not in construction at all, so they just accept it, right?
Yeah, that's right.
And I think that's when we end up having to redo it for the client, because we need to enter, like in our system here, we need to enter the Gantt chart and the activities into the PhotoNet system. And if it's not, if what we receive from the project is not good, we have to redo it. And I think we had to redo every single one of them.
Yes, only that one with Ciro Brento years ago, that we got a very nice, very well built schedule. Mm-hmm. But that was an exception.
Yeah. So in 52 projects, right? That we were just we were just talking about this before recording, that we've worked with 52 projects in these 10 years, and only one that was a schedule that we didn't have to touch. And so what is the best and notice that we haven't talked about any tools. We're just talking about the concepts here. We're not talking about how to do things in Microsoft Project or Primavera or anything like that, right? So just from the concept point of view, what are best practice? Some of the best practices for creating the Gantt chart.
Yes, the Gantt chart is the outcome of a critical path analysis. And this is not a new technology. Mm-hmm. Critical path analysis is from the 60s. Was developed by a company called Remington, RAND. And then this is not new. That's amazing that we are still talking about this in 2011. That the Gantt chart is the outcome of a critical path method. Mm-hmm. So if you have a well-formulated Gantt chart, if 3 months inside the project you find out that you are behind the schedule, you can run what we call a crash analysis, which means to take the rest of the schedule and compress it, crash it, in order to keep the final date for delivery. So let's say I have a project to be built in 12 months. After 3 months, we found out that we are 1 month behind the schedule. That means that in the next 9 months, we have to do 10 months of the project. So we have to crash the network in order to fit 10 months in line. What we have to do about that? Well, this activity, we have to reduce the duration in 30%, which means we have to put people working by night or weekends, mm-hmm. and this has a cost. Mm-hmm. But if you guess the activity, you don't have means to do this calculation.
When you do the critical path analysis, you come up with the critical path, which is a sequence of activities that each one of those activities are critical to.
That sequence determines the duration of the project.
Right. So if you want to, that's what people don't know a lot. Well, they should know, but if they want to speed things up, they need to spend their money on those activities.
That's right.
And you wouldn't know that unless you did
this
properly.
And also, if you have the thing properly done, when you crash the critical path to fit the new timing, you find new activities getting in the critical path.
Right. Because now...
And you have to worry about those activities mm-hmm. too. Mm-hmm. And that's how the thing is done. In a good manner.
Okay. And number 10, you talk about remembering accountability.
Yes.
And keeping in mind that you and or your client will be held accountable to this project schedule, because it'll become an important document that will dictate how the future claims and disputes will come about, right?
Yeah, and then usually the owner asks the contractor to give him or her the schedule, because he will take that thing, the contractor will be held accountable, on his own schedule.
Mm-hmm. It's almost like a lawyer's opinion, right? On this is what me as the project manager, as the head of the project team, have decided that this is how this project should be handled, and that this is when it's going to be delivered, and the owner takes your word for it, so you're accountable for it. Okay. Now, this is just those 10 items that that you wrote on that post. And on that post, I mentioned something we were working on right now, which is a an online course on creating a schedule, and which should be available soon. But in that article, there's a link that you can get. You can click there and put your email address on our mailing list, and then as we work on that product, we will let you know when it's available. And as an early adopter, you might get a good deal there on getting that product. And again, so these are 10 quick things that you need to keep in mind to create a great project schedule. Anything else you'd like to say?
Well, I remember years ago, I was giving a lecture to a class of graduate students in civil engineering. And I asked the class, well, you know, you imagine that you are the project manager, starting a new project, and then the owner comes here to ask you questions about the project is about to start. What would be the first question he would ask you? The first question is, how much does that cost?
Mm-hmm.
What would be the second question? How long does that take?
Yeah.
How much does that cost? It's not so complicated. You go to the literature, again, usually the RMS, and you find out the cost of the thing. But to say how long does it take, well, that's a more complicated task answer than the first one.
Mm-hmm.
many things as we covered here,
yeah,
interfere to give to so make you be able to give this
answer. So what if they want, what do you tell them if they want an estimate, just right there? They're interviewing you for the job, right? And they want to know how fast can you deliver this project. What do you say?
well, we need to go through
and
schedule analysis,
mm-hmm,
to say this thing is gonna take 6 months, 1 year, 18 months, 12 years or so.
Okay. So that was, I think we covered a lot there in these 32 minutes. If you have any questions about any of this, I recommend you go to our website, and it's remontech.com, and that's spelled remontech.com, or you can go to myconstructioncamera.com and take it to the same place, and you can contact us there using the contact us link. And again, my name is Cesar Abaid. I'm here today with Dr. George Abaid, PhD, who happens to be my father and my boss. And this was, we might do this again on a different topic. This is kind of a different way. We're just sitting here in the office with the recorder. And again, this was episode 9 of the Construction Industry Podcast. You can write us feedback at constructionindustrypodcast.com. And I don't know if you've noticed this, but we're trying to put out an episode every week. So you can I'm a little hesitant to say this because it's a promise that may be hard to keep, but you can expect a new episode by the end of the day, every Thursday published. So if you go to iTunes and search for Construction Industry Podcast, you can subscribe that way, or you can just go to our website and subscribe via email, and I will send you an email every time there's a new episode out. Again, thank you very much for listening, and I'll talk to you next time.